Mr. Comey, the head of the FBI, did his letter, as Hillary's been saying lately, his letter caused her loss in the...
No, it most certainly did not.
What caused her loss was the people determined not to have anybody from the Washington establishment be president.
They didn't vote for her. They didn't vote for her. That's what it was.
Right, because they did not, the main underlying cause of her loss was that nobody was going to tolerate someone from the Washington establishment. That was the main point.
That's right.
Right?
That's yeah. right. That's right.
Not fake news.
You damned the basket of deplorables. They wanted somebody to give a chance, and now everybody's been put up there fixing to wipe it out. They're putting people who don't even know what they are. Do you realize your little buddy from Texas didn't even remember what the Energy Commission was and Mr. Perry, and now he's going to be put over the charge of it? How many fucking minutes do you think that's going to last? He's going to blow that thing up. You can't do that. You handle nuclear weapons. Hey, don't give a fuck. Blow them up. Send them to Iran. Blow them up. It doesn't make any difference. This stuff is fine. You think,
yeah,
that's fine. That's just fine. Lady Gaga gave me a million reasons.
No, you're saying that Don Trump is appointing people who don't know anything about the job they're going to do, and that's a useful
thing. Only that they hate it. Yes, they do. They know what they do. They know it's ridiculous, and they know it's stupid, and they know it shouldn't be that, and they know it shouldn't be done that way. That's right.
It should not be done that way.
You better believe it. It should not be done at all.
Yeah, so he's putting at the head of all these departments guys who hate the department, the category.
And so now, and how the new rule's going to work now, here's how it's going to work. For every time you put in a new rule that says you got to do stuff, you have to take two rules out.
Right, right.
You run that a little bit, honey. If every time you take put something in your mouth, you have to give two back, Bob, how much would you eat?
Okay, so...
Now, see that? Now, when we say it that way, that's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. So Trump is... So I saw that clip. They showed Rick Perry in the debate with Ron Paul. He didn't know the third factor, energy. So they're saying, boy, are these real stupid people they're putting in there. So there's lots of fodder that the anti-Trump forces can use. He's providing lots of stuff that'll make him look like, well, geez, we better impeach this guy. He's so incompetent. But they don't get the point that Trump is doing something very useful, and they're not able to see that part. That's what's going on.
Perfect. Yep.
Very good. Okay.
Very yummy.
Now, a couple more little quickies. When we talk about the Chinese government is mad at Trump, but not the other factor in Chinese economy. They're not mad at Trump, but the Chinese government is, and the Chinese government is going to get weaker. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. The Kabbalah is about communicating with angels?
No.
I just have this thing. Angels are to Kabbalah, and what is to the Emerald Tablets? I wanted to fill in this ratio. Angels are to Kabbalah, and something is to the Emerald Tablets. That doesn't work. There's no angel relationship to the Kabbalah.
No.
All right. Did the Kabbalah...
Would be the Nephilim, though.
Oh, okay. The Nephilim relate to the Kabbalah.
Yes.
Okay. And that's not an angel?
It's a mixture. Miscegenated, as it were.
Right. It's a mixture. Now, the Emerald Tablets, do they discuss communicating with non-Nephilim, with pure angels?
Superfluously.
Meaning that's easy, but not the main point of the Emerald Tablets.
Correct. Excellent.
All right.
Sesquipedalian, you, Bob.
Yeah, sesquipedalian. You got to look that up.
Okay, hit it, stop
okay,
it there.
Stop it there.
Now I'll move forward.
Numbers and letters in the Kabbalah. Was it a kind of unconscious writing, those that created the Kabbalah?
There are no numbers in the Kabbalah.
But the letters have numerical meaning.
They do. Wait. They have angles. They have angles. Yes, they do.
But not numbers.
Nope. There are no angles in it. That's correct.
No, there's angles, but no numbers. See, numbers are angles, and you just said there's no numbers. But then you say there are angles, but angles are numbers. So there are numbers in the Kabbalah. But you're trying to correct the meaning of numbers, what we project, correct?
No, we're trying to straighten out your position. Your position is fair, it's just not exactly on the money. So you have to change that position just a little bit, and so therefore we have to disagree to allow you to make a new conjecture, which will allow you a better conversation.
All right, that's very good. So angles are important in the Kabbalah's writing.
Yeah.
It's like what you opened up with us 7 years ago. There's millions of angles in Ion as a dodecahedron. So the Kabbalah is describing interacting with the dodecahedron?
Yeah, the computer says yes.
Right. Now, is there those that created the Kabbalah, were they in a state of channeling or unconscious automatic writing, or was it very well understood?
Well understood.
But not, I assume that the actual...
Start that assuming business.
All right. The coming forth of Ion, they intuited, but they don't get the full situation. They didn't get
Weebles
the full
situation. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Right. So they wobbled in the past, creating breadcrumbs, but the actual manifestation of Ion, nobody foresaw the characteristics of that. Would you agree?
So far. Certainly, though. So far.
Right, because then once we're ascended, and then everything changes about what we're experiencing, what we understood, and then we change the past and the relationship of how we got here from a projected past. All that starts to get played with differently.
Well, gray. It starts to gray.
To gray. Are we going to gray the 60s history when we talk about recreating the 60s?
We sent that. We put that in your box. It's already in your inbox with Reagan and JFK. That's already in
all
your
right.
inbox, Bob. We did that for you. We already adore you. See how cool that is?
Very good.
We got ahead
okay.
of you. It's wonderful. There's a few things in there. Just two or three little things. Nothing to write home about, so it's okay.
Okay, I think that will end at that point. Thank you very much, Ian, for a great session. Okay, I'm going to play the next part. This is the Quoker Quadrant versus the Quaker Quadrant. I spell Quaker, Q-U-O-K-K-E-R. So I finally get around to asking Ian, what is that about?
Ian, you were saying something was in the Quoker Quadrant, or were you saying Quaker Quadrant? Sometimes
We were saying Croker, but we were goading on Cracker, because he's Crackers, he's nuts. So it was
yeah.
the Quoker Quadrant, but he is Quackers.
There you're doing it again. Are you saying Q-U-A Quaker Quadrant or Croker Quadrant?
Croker, but we're making a pun on it, because we don't want to acknowledge that he even is alive.
Right. And so you're saying the Quackers turns Croker into sort of Quaker Quadrant, but you don't want to, you're not pointing out the Quaker Quadrant.
Well, sometimes we are. Just that's where that
yes.
comes from. So it's the interplay. We're trying to gauge you through the interplay.
So there's a bit of a regretful reality to the Croker Quadrant, but you're twisting it into the Quaker Quadrant most of the time.
Yeah. We wish he had never done a quadrant. It would have been made it better in our world. Because
yes.
what's happened is we have having to spend a great deal of energy obsolescing the things that he cannot achieve. Lately.
Well, you obsolesce all of my chart and quadrants.
I know, but some is with a vengeance and some is just for shits and giggles. That one, the particular one, is serious.
Yeah.
His outcome is serious, meaning it is huge. His
contribution is hugely distracting, diverting, or something?
No, it's as close to right as you can get. And so
oh, yeah.
we dislike that because it points out the how potentially sinister everything is.
And now he's correct on that, but you don't like to emphasize that?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, okay. Let's leave it at that. So, let's see. I wanted to ask about the Quaker word, the Ion, and I think that was it. All right, so now I got to go over here and just check my coordinates here for doing Garrett Part 3, which hopefully will be the last part. Let's see.
we did Carolyn, so I got to see what the last words were. Just a second. Just a minute.
Babylon is fallen, it's fallen. Babylon is fallen to rise no more.
Are you trying to fill in the space?
We can't have that. It's CKLM. We can't have that air. We can't have that. See, Babylon is fallen. Very good to note that. It kind of explains the change.
Yeah.
See, Agrippa was a pretty cool cat. Agrippa got it. He was trying to save it, but he couldn't save it, so that's why it had to fall. But Agrippa was a bad head, and Nebuchadnezzar, this sure am good. He tore it up from the old school. Pretty fun. So happy day. She likes it. This is a fun Bob. We could talk about Bob, Carolyn. That would be fun. What do you think? He likes that. But if we did, but you know, though, if you and I start that, he'll never finish. He'll lose the new topic, the old topic, and that topic won't be. So it won't be. It won't work out so good. We'll never get anywhere else. So we better be careful with that.
I know. He's trying to find his place in the recording. You know how that is.
Yeah. I do. We do.
Okay, so maybe you found that interesting about Babylon's fallen. It's another explanation of why things have changed, why matter has changed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to play the next part. A little section here. Why the bees won't make honey.
Today, honey is wonderful, fabulous, used honey. Tomorrow, honey will be death. It will soak up all the poisons of this earth. The bees will collect all the poisons. The new heaven and new earth, you also won't be able to eat the flowers in your paradise.
Okay.
Be very mindful. Yeah. But now, because of the way things are shifting, though, you can now genetically, hybridly create honey. Because that's what you're going to have to do anyway, because the bees aren't going to make it. They're not going to make it.
We have to create our own honey?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Okay.
But then you're going to find, you got problems with people who are already sensitive, and those are the ones that are getting into the position.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're saying honey is the best thing ever, but it's going to kill you later. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like you're saying, we might as well just accept the fact that everything is changing And
your drive, or your point is, what you're trying to create is something that breaks down naturally simple sugars, because your super sugar has a different evaporation level. The evaporation is what makes it this thick, sweet liquid, what you call honey. And the way the bees flap their wings, it cures the sugars to make it not hard as a rock, like rock candy, but settles it into this drippy, thick, sticky kind of stuff. That's what causes that. Because they know that's why everybody's talking about the losing the bees, because the environment's not allowing them to be. Okay, so now, but see, now look here. Nectar is about 80% water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so now the honeycomb fills that up from the end and allows it to settle, but they're fanning it as they're spitting into it to fan it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what causes it. Now, what you're talking about is you're fixing to have a different sugar that you can't do that with. So all the things, and this is, goes back to all the days when you would push back against the sugar, and we loved the sugar shack. We were all about the sugar shack from day one, and you were like, no, a spoonful of sugar will kill you the rest of your life. But now all of a sudden, as it changes, you can embrace sugar again, and that's why you say stevia is no problem. Well, it was. Now all of a sudden, we had to wait and see that's okay. So these things the body is embracing, and you still get the benefit or the beauty of being able to live. Before, you had to be so healthy that you couldn't enjoy living. Now you can actually enjoy living and have health. Healthy living is still living. And that's what's been missing. That's what's been missing is the living part, obviously.
Okay, we'll end it at there. Then you go down here. I don't know how this came up, why I went into it. So Ayn's explaining that they wanted to get a job. So they auditioned to me. Now, getting a job would be their metaphor for becoming creative, no longer being just non-physical. So this is pretty funny.
Well, it was just a really bad job interview, Bob. We were looking for a gig of our own, and we thought if we could do anything to get you involved in it, that it might be a good thing, and that maybe we could gain powerful employment from Dobstown, USA. Or no, Dobstown.com. That's who owns us now, isn't it, Bob? Isn't it Dobstown? We don't even know what the fuck Dobstown.com is, but apparently it owns us now. It has us whole. Our sphincter is controlled by Dobstown.com. We can't even say it. But, yeah, we were just trying to get a gig, Bob, and thanks for putting us on. But we know it'll be over soon. But we appreciated it very much. It was delicious while we had a good run at it. But that's what that was all about, of course.
Yeah, and you knew that would be very significant to me the way you did present McClellan's
album. How prolific of that. Now, see, the Willowies never did that for you, did they?
No.
The Willowies never did that for you. That's good.
No.
Okay. Just saying.
Okay, where that came from is that we were talking about how Ion got my attention in the first interaction with Ion on March 18th by bringing up a very personal thing that McLuhan said to me about somebody. And I didn't know... I was pretty impressed that Ion knew that. It was confidential what I knew. So Ion saying they did that. They got my attention. They wanted to outdo the Willowies by... bring up this point from McLuhan, because they knew that would work and they'd get a gig working for Bob. So, okay, on to the next topic.
Of course. And we're not trying to steal that thunder either, Bob, because we have to be careful, because what happens is after a little bit, you're getting good at this. That's why you're offending every fucking body, Bob. It's because you're getting good at this. If you weren't so damn good at stuff, you wouldn't offend everybody. So we understand, and we kind of saw that, too. We kind of knew that was going to happen, too, and nothing we could do. There was nothing we could do, Bob, nothing we could do. You know, that's just Bob. That's how that works. So it's fine. It's not a problem. What has to happen, though, is you've got to curb your enthusiasm. What that means, specifically, is you've got to know what you're dealing with. You think
you
do. Did
you say curb my enthusiasm with making videos with Roxy or people in
general? No. In the world as we know it.
In other words, not be so happy. Not appear so happy.
No. You're the one who coined the glib, clichéable archetype. Now you're trapped in it and you don't even know you're trapped in your own glib, cliched archetype. It's a happy bat you can't see straight. It's a fat you can't damn walk. It's a happy you can't damn stand. It just beats all out we've ever seen.
What did he just say, Kevin? I'm so happy I can't stand it. But you're saying to temper the enthusiasm. I just said, well, yeah, don't appear so happy. And then you disagree with that. But then it turned out that's what you were saying.
We're saying the excuse. You're very easy good at this foolishness. And that foolishness is the foolishness that you're trying to undo. And you can't undo that. You got to go with it.
What I'm good at, I encourage, and even though I should not encourage that.
Basically. Good.
Right, so how do I...
That was clear as mud. Carolyn was asking. That was clear as mud. He got that. We don't even know what the hell we said, and he agrees, so that's our Bob.
Well, I'm good at the superficial stuff.
We could just get the soapstone. We could get the soapstone out of the bottom of his throat. It'd be all we need, Carolyn. Just get the soapstone out.
Now, that's a good point. I'm good at putting significance into trivial topics. I can make a person feel it's an engaging, fatty conversation. I'm good at that.
Which is the thing that McLuhan tried to do. McLuhan wasn't even very good at it. See, the thing, the problem is you join this fucking cult that's trying to make something. You're more valuable than even Marshall's entire damn work, and you're trying to move heaven and earth to prove that he was something because it was your damn work in the first place. The craziest thing I've ever seen. You're moving heaven and earth trying to prove that God was, you're using God to prove that God was God because he connected with you. It's like, well, no, wait a second. How does that work? Margaret wasn't all that. It wasn't all that. She was pretty good, but she wasn't all that, was she?
Okay, well, that was a metaphor. I built that up through the years because that was like the neatest thing to talk about before Ian showed up. Now, I'm getting...
Okay, so that was pretty interesting. On mute here.
All participants are now muted. All participants are now unmuted.
So you're seeing the complexity there. I've been doing fatty communion for 40 years, so good at it that everybody gets all involved in it, and then suddenly I shows up, we got something important to talk about, and I'm not equipped at imparting important stuff. I'm so good at imparting trivial stuff. Okay, so I bring up the topic of the what's going on in the forum.
Did you just say they're getting ready to kick me off the McLuhan Quadrant?
Yeah, they're trying to have you killed. They're taking a collection to have you drawn and quartered right now, but they can't get enough donors. They'd have you dead in a hammer, sack of hammers if they could, Bob.
Yeah, well, it's sort of odd. Obviously, Alex is determined probably to get me off before the New Year starts, so he can have a new year. There's no justification for getting me off. He says I hijacked it, but I don't hijack it. I post. I try to stay within the rules. I post the most quotes from McLuhan than anybody. It takes time to type it up. So is he being prompted by Eric to get me off?
Oh, he has to. He has to. You know that.
Because Eric's there.
Yes, of course.
Eric never posts, so that means he will, regardless of, you know, this bit, Brian Taylor or Minimax is on there defending me in a appropriate way. He's just saying every time Bob brings up a topic, you, Alex, shift it to Bob and don't deal with the topic. And that's a legitimate complaint, and he's voiced it. But if Alex and Emma are determined, are they trying to look like, come up with a reason, trying to get me real mad? And then they can claim...
They can't do that. That's silly, Bob. You know better than that.
Well, let's
look
at...
You've never been mad, ever.
Right. So let's look at... Let's pretend or look at how he could be right. How have I hijacked the group?
You're smart. They're
right.
Not.
And I'm posting a lot of McLuhan quotes that they don't know about.
You make them look bad because you know more and
that's right. That's exactly right.
Now, Eric, he's not going to engage, but he says, okay, Bob's got the charisma he's building up. I've got to stop that. That's Eric's point. We've got to stop Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And he complains to Alex.
Yep.
What about the other administrator, Martin, who's a guy in Germany? He seems a little more open. Is he the reason
He's goofy. He's just a goof, Bob. You're dealing with ridiculous, inappropriate in every way. Vagabonds who can't make it in the real world, in the real life at times of Grizzly Adams, and then you're trying to figure out how to make it through. The people, no one's listening, no one's there, no one cares. It's ridiculous. You blew the whole damn thing up, nobody would even notice. They'd be like, oh, we blew it all the way up. Well, I didn't notice. I'm sorry, I really didn't notice. It was amazing.
Okay.
I was surprisingly amazed that I was amazed. It's
I understand
fair.
That. Okay, I understand that. So what's happened is only the people that are associated with me, if you look them up, you find they're friends of me, they're the only ones posting. And it's Alex and Martin against three or four of us and then a couple of newbies who like me and like stuff I do. So there's only like 10 people involved. And you're saying most people aren't even looking at it, except the 1,400 members, right?
That's exactly correct.
Right. Now, I like posting these things. And I know it's not working, probably not a big deal, but I have time to do it, so why not make it? But if I'm over, so basically, Alex is saying I'm an idiot. I'm from Mars. I live in a bubble in Maui. All these things are not really valid objections.
They're not they're not relevant. That's the
right.
point.
Now, he's been away for a couple weeks, and he said the rumor about me that I stole stuff. And I said, no, I didn't. I said, that's just the creep starts that. So he says, well, I'm in Mexico now, but when I get back around December 15th, we can talk, and you can tell me who the creep is. Now, I'm going to tell him, I don't even know if I want to bother, but if we do, I'll tell him it's Eric. He would not be able to accept that, right? He's going to side with Eric.
Okay. I mean, you don't care.
Right, but I don't mind me passing it on to Eric, but is it futile to get him to consider change his mind because he believes that Eric caused this problem?
Here's the better question. You're trying to convince him of something what? For what reason?
You're asking me. Well, see, Eric makes these accusations to PhD people that they shouldn't talk to me because I stole stuff from his father, which is not true. He even has me and Nelson doing it before I met Nelson. So I can disprove with the facts, even though they may not pretend to believe the facts, but I can disprove what he's saying. And so it's almost libelous. So Eric's been doing that for years. That's what the rumor, Alice came up with the rumor. The rumor Alice got was I stole it from the coach house, which is ridiculous. So he said, well, who's this creep? And I said, well, we'll have to talk privately. He said, well, I'll be back from Mexico on December 15th. So I don't know if he's waiting to hear me offer to have the private call, but I'm asking you, if I tell him it's Eric, he's so beholden to Eric in his role of moderator of the McLuhan archive that he would have to reject that. It would be wasting my time to tell him that, correct?
It would, yeah, you can tell him, and it wouldn't be wasting anything. He can maybe hear the truth for the very first time, so it's fine.
Right.
He may say, yeah, I knew it all along, Bob. You knew.
But the point
is... But here's the story. If you leave and you don't go and you're not there, they don't have anything.
Yes.
I mean, do you understand that?
I understand, and I see that's why he can't pull the plug on me. He and Martin know that. So he's caught between what
no
Eric's
one else
telling.
Knows. No one else knows what you know. Even then,
right.
even they. And that's why.
Right.
That's why the one that the blistering one that ought to be out there should be.
I had to delete that part, but that's true. I know stuff that they don't. None of them know. Okay, so these are a bunch of questions that came out of Roxy looking into. Moses and the Kabbalah. So I want to play a bit of that. I got some neat little details on Moses that we haven't gotten before. So we're asking, what is the correct spelling for Kabbalah?
What is the correct spelling of Kabbalah? Maybe the original
there's several.
Right. What ones are, could you spell out the candidates for the short list? I spell it this way, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H. That's what the Wikipedia spells. Is that one of the correct ways?
Okay, originally, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H.
That's the way the scholars did it, the guys who invented
mm-hmm.
it. Okay,
but
good.
Now in Hebrew, it comes into a pentad.
Was that you talking alphabetically? It's a pentad.
No, the Mikabal. Mikabal.
Oh, just a second into the pentad. Now you're going to give me that spelling, okay? M.
Yeah. M E K U B. B A.
Missed the second letter. D or C.
Okay, let's start over. M E K U B B A L.
Okay, Mekubal. Looks like
yes.
Mekubal.
Yes. Now, then, what happens is that becomes that's basically a discipline or an esoteric description, but it's better in the original Hebrew.
Okay, these and letters, does Hebrew have the same letters as our phonetic alphabet letters in English?
No.
So much when you
better.
Say M, it is not the alphabetic English M. It's a Hebrew
correct.
M. And it's,
correct.
And it's different. It's a different M. I don't even know what it would be, right?
Right.
Okay, so those so Mekubal does not refer to M-E-K-U-B-B-A-L. It refers to Hebrew
letters. It's
another
version.
Right. But that's the English approximation, Mekubal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, is the Kabbalah is about interacting with the seraphim, which was happening before Adam. There was an Adam, and that Adam was not isolated in the Garden of Eden because he sent his children to interact with other parts of the world which had been mingling with the Nephilim. Then that all got wiped out, flooded, destroyed. Then you come to the second Adam or the third Adam, which is Adam and Eve.
Second Adam.
Right. So when they talk about the first and second Adam, they're talking about pre-flood, post-flood, pre-Nephilim, post-Nephilim, correct?
Basically, yes.
And the area where Adam is with the Nephilim, the first Adam, that is not an ascended continent. That is a fallen man condition.
Correct.
Right. So in the ascended continent, the world of ascension, which is around us, the ascended, never had a beginning, never had an ending, and does not involve any stories of origins of creation.
Basically.
Right? Yeah, basically.
Basically. But now that's going to change.
You mean that image of no beginning is going to change?
Right. Right.
Is it going to have a beginning image, thanks to lockdown Bob Rule?
Maybe.
I see.
It depends if you don't have slippage, because you can have slippage.
And that would be slipping into other timelines,
yep.
other possibilities.
Yep.
Right.
Capacity.
How
other worlds can bump into here, and they're back and forth. That's the reason everything is so, what you say, so nebulous, that you can't know anything, you can't find anything, because y'all keep changing the fucking rules.
And that little man does that. Ascended man doesn't do that.
That's correct. That's correct.
And in the ascended continent, there's no darkness. It's all sun. No, maybe it's the opposite. I can't remember what you said. It's all sun. No darkness. No nights.
No more nights. Right.
Right. And very little oxygen.
Less and less all the time.
Right. Okay. So. So the Nephilim, Lilith, interacting with Adam, there's no Eve, but there are many other people that Nephilim are talking to, and Adam might have relationships with other people before the flood.
Check your inbox, Bob. That's the Hebrew version.
Okay, but this question is, there's no special Adam in the pre-flood. There's just people interacting with the Nephilim who have fallen and creating a limited
basically.
Dimension.
Yes,
right.
That's right. Good for you.
All right. Okay.
You got it. You got it, Bob. You did something today. Hey.
Okay, got that part. Then we move it forward. Okay, here we go. Next part. He was talking about, we began with Moses back in the first month. And I think Ian said that Moses was the first enlightened being coming out of the fallen state. Is that what you had said?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a little man, and he managed to. Now, does the Emerald Tablets record what Moses did, or did Moses get it from the Emerald Tablets, how to ascend?
No, he got it from Egypt. He was a prince, Bob. Moses was a
yes.
prince.
So there were ascended people in the dynasties of Egypt.
Yeah, of course. And, of course, that's the Coathanites, Bob. He's who got the... Yeah, he actually wrote the Torah.
Yes.
The first five books.
Yes. And so he was translating what he got from the Coathanites around him.
He had it. We don't want to say it that way. It's not that way.
Okay, but because he was a little man... He was not eternal consciously like the Quetzal.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Zipporah would think differently of that.
Zipporah liked Moses? Is that what you mean?
His wife.
I know, but did she like Moses and put him on a pedestal?
Hell yeah. She did shit for him.
All right. So Moses is this little guy, and he makes a mistake of the little guy. He writes stuff down, right?
Yes.
That's a mistake.
Yes, because, yes, see, that's right, because of Aaron and Miriam.
What? That was his brother. What did they do? That it, I mean, they were less than him, so he had to teach them?
Well, he stood them, and that's what Miriam got into. Miriam might have been greater than he.
But you just said he stood them? What was that verb? He something.
He had to stand for them, or
right.
Make everything for them. But see, you got Eliezer in there too, which may have been the greatest one of all. No one even speaks of him.
And who was he in relation to Moses? A brother? Father?
Son.
A son.
They don't even talk about him.
And what was Ophanel in that mix?
Seti the First.
Seti the First, but was he a Kohathanite? Was I a Kohathanite?
Yes. Levi, Kehath, and Seti the First.
Those are three people that I was.
In this mix.
Okay, I gotta move it over to another part.
Work it. Because it's actually about Aram. A-M-R-A-M. That's what it's actually about. But you can't go in about all that, because that'll really tangle it up. So,
right, and that's not Aaron. Not Aaron.
No, that's exactly right. That's Moses' grandparents.
and were they Kohathanites?
Yes. Yes,
so
yes, yes.
So Kohathanites could have children.
There was Jochebed's husband.
Right, but Kohathanites could have children, and then they would have to hopefully make the children become ascended, like the parents.
It's too clever. It's too clever. So not quite.
Right. Okay.
So you're going to go down the Tiberian line. The Tiberian line, that's the wrong. That's the friend of the Most High. That's great. But it's wrong. Because see, now you got it wrong. That was Jochebed with the previous spouse.
Right.
So you mix it up. So let's stop right here. We don't want to tell you anything. We want to say, go to Exodus 6:20.
Here's Exodus 6:20. Amram married his father.
That Amram he just spelled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years.
Is that true? Is Amram an ascended person?
I think he's still alive. They referenced him for that many years, but he's still alive.
But he's not the grandparent that you were mentioning.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he's the grandparent, okay.
Who bore him Aaron and Moses.
Yeah, he's the parent of Moses and Aaron, Carol.
Mm.
We're talking about the grandparent of Eliezer, Bob.
Okay, gotcha. That's good. Is Eliezer mentioned in the Bible, Carol?
Yes.
Okay, he is. Ophanel is only mentioned as Hobab, right? No Ophanel.
Ophanel. There is Ophanel, Hobab. There certainly is. You just don't find it. When we rewrite it again, we'll get you there. It's okay.
Right. Now, that's very interesting, Carol. The Kohathanites are influencing Moses, but I was like Ophanel was the representative of the Kohathanites, the main Kohathanite liaison with Moses.
Why don't people worship the gods that are worshipped in the Kohathanite lane? Why don't they mention Kohathanites? Why do you have to be an Amalekite to even be mentioned? How is it that they have obfuscated the entire race of God, the Kohathanites, and no one put him on a cross, nobody bore him? They're all the true part sons of Moses. They are the true part sons of God, the root and the branch of Jesse, the true oblivion. Now, they never mention where they come to. They get back to the Garden of Eden, but they can't get east of Eden to where they come from. It's an astounding thing that all these written words are written and laid out in every prefix and every tune and tone under the sun, moon, stars, but you can't see the plain nose on your plain face get you back to God. So, just like the Sphinx, you chop it off and wait for better days.
Right. So the not mentioning of the Quest Knights and O'Fennell in particular is replayed in the McLuhan group, where everybody, and before the McLuhan group, ignores Bob. I'm still getting coathanized.
But they know they're scared to shit. You scared them shitless, but they don't know past that.
Okay,
they don't know what to do with you. If they throw you out, you're going to have them smoke. If they don't throw you out, you're going to take over. They don't know if you start pointing out the things and they start saying that Marshall McLuhan said something, oh, hell no, I was there, I talked to him, I was... Blah, 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 blah. You are the last standing of what they can't prove of what is. You don't even know, you've never been in the damn coach house. Don't tell me what's in there and what happened. Don't tell me. You're trying to tell me something, you ridiculous snot. I was Canadian before you were ever thunk of.
Okay, so... We had some interesting discussions about Moses in 2009, 2010, about he was from the future, he was an E.T., or he represented the E.T. Are the E.T.s the Coathanites, in actual fact? What culture
calls? Call them what you want.
Right, but the extraterrestrial, the E.T. factor, is dealing with Coathanites and O'Fennell. That's who influenced Moses, and that's what you were saying in simpler terms 7 years ago, correct?
Basically.
So Iona Miller, I think her name is, had me join up.
We did her 1,000 years ago, Bob. I'm so sure you killed her by now.
Yeah. So anyway, so she had me join up to a UFO group. So I went in there and said, hey, we have contact. It's right here, Ion. I mentioned it. Now, I'm not going to keep pressing the point, but that is correct.
Did she giggle? Did she giggle?
I don't think she responded. I did not see a response by her. But I don't think she would like that, or she doesn't agree with that. She's a bit
right, because it would outdo her doing. That's what was the problem with her originally.
I did the same thing. I was invited to a group. I go in there, uh-oh, this will kill the group. Get rid of that guy. That's right. I do that everywhere I go.
There you go.
But aside
from
that.
He's a kook. He's a kook who knows stuff. We don't know where he gets all the information, but he knows everything about us. We can't stand it. And he's so nice, and we call him a son of a bitch, and we try to kill him, and we said he's got ass cancer, and we run him in and out, and we stick the sub-genius on him, and then they come around back and forth, and he still comes back. They're all about stone cold dead. He sleeps with their wives and then wonder what happened when he comes back. Says, oh, that was fun. You want to try that again? Oh, this is J.R. Bob. Trying to find a match for my pipe. But this kind of snuff, I'd be all right.
Okay, I got that. Now, but this point is that you say, Ion, that I have no, Carolyn, I have no
goodbye.
Idea what you really
say
are.
Say hello.
Beg your pardon?
We say goodbye. You say hello. Hello, hello.
Right. But Ion, you say that I have no idea what you are. If I start thinking of E.T. contact, that's a good metaphor for some stupendous thing.
You don't even know what extraterrestrial means, though. It's just another glib, cliched archetype that you put a name on something. That's why we have to run around cleaning up your damn messes now. When you make up all this stuff, well, that's because of the Quoker Quadrant. So we're going to the Thompson Quadrant. We're going to see if there's something up our bum and if the Queen really was sleeping with Walter Winchell. We'll see. We'll figure that out. It's like, no, why are you doing all that? We will burn Windsor Castle. Up with us. We will burn Windsor. Oh, wait, we already did. Sorry. Never mind. That's all over.
I don't say nothing. You start saying all this stuff on payday, what you just said, taking all Bob's food and getting jokes out of it and claiming Bob caused Ion to say
and
that.
And then the damn thing, burns to the ground.
So you know what's that, Carol? He goes on about what I made a mistake bringing up, by cliche archetype. And he gets a joke about it and make everybody laugh. And if we didn't have Bob's, quote, mistakes being said, I would have nothing to say. There's the rub there.
And there'd be nothing left to burn, Bob.
Okay, so...
you provide fodder.
I'm just trying to get you to say,
Bob fodder.
To agree with this statement or not, that E.T. contact, if humans wanted it, Ion is the best contact they're ever going to get. Correct?
Yep. That would be in the butt, Bob.
Yeah, in the butt. Okay, let me go to the next part. This is a good section here.
Well, what's a gallbladder?
That's the whole thing. Gallbladder. It's something that's just above your gallbladder, inverted. It's a gallbladder. It's what it connects to. It's where
okay.
the small intestine comes in, where the gall, where the wormwood and the gall would be stored in the meat sack body. It's just below the thalamus, Bob. You know, it's right there.
Okay, I got it. The gallbladder is what the eye cell is, Carol. It's the gallbladder, the thing that we can't
have. The gallbladder. Oh, now he's making archetypes again. Then he's going to make a joke out of that. Then he's going to prove it's true, and there it'll go.
Okay, I am. Please don't keep going on. I forget, and I've already forgot. Bye.
Send yourself an email, Bob. That's all you have to do.
But we did. Okay, so. So Roxy's into the. Oh, yeah. We are going to do the More Than Human book tomorrow night because Roxy got the whole weekend off, so we can do an extra special thing. Hopefully Bert will be there. But I told her I want to play your statement interpreting Gerd Lenhardt, the futurist, that we did the last few days, because you talk about what ascension is, what More Than Human is in relation to his Gerd's stupid version of human. So do you agree that that's a good thing to play on the topic of More Than Human, what you explained?
Of course. You're driving. We can't tell you how to make a glib, clicheable archetype, Bob. You do that in your sleep. It's all good.
All right.
You got it.
Are the Human Longevity Company, which was brought up by somebody, and you were aware of it, are the human, yeah, maybe in the Gerd tape, is that a company that's watching what we're doing, inspire what we're
Everybody
doing?
Everybody is. Everybody is.
Now, Carolyn, you ask a bit about that. You get an opinion. What do you mean, everybody? We hardly get any listeners. So what is this everybodyness? Is this a bunch of...
You put this shit out. It's playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on many courses, many ways, and people are finding it. It's just showing up in their cramp all the time, all over the place. And then they come back and say, well, 4 years ago, I was listening to the archives. I've never been on before, but I was blah, 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 blah. You're like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then you just kind of push that right on out of the way. Like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. That's these people have been here all these years and had ever come in. They must not have been worth much. So let's get rid of them now. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not thinking you don't come in, you don't talk. We're not going to have anything to do with you because you didn't spend 17 hours listening to me talk about how wonderful I was and how I didn't participate in your thing. Now, no, I'm not kicking you off mute, and you're not going to talk to Ian, and you don't talk to me, and I'm not going to ever let you speak again. That's the way I can do that. I'm not going to take you off mute so you can just sit down the sidelines because you're not being participating until you start becoming a better Ian Nut. No damn wonder nobody wants to be exposed under your tutelage, Bob. It's kind of a hard row to hoe when you're the only one rowing the boat.
That's a good one. So, okay, well, that's interesting. I forgot about that. We're playing 24/7. A lot of people are bumping into it. And the networks of the CDC and the Federal Reserve and other
Russia,
so-called elite.
Russia can hack you. Russia can hack you, you know. They can hack it up. You showed them how to hoik. Now, Bob, they've got hacking down. If you teach them how to hoik, I quit. We quit. It's over. You teach, they're hacking perfectly now. But if you teach them to hoik, it's over.
All right. So, Carolyn, you have these elites. These people have high hoity-toity consulting jobs. They like Jeremy Rifkin or even this guy, Gerd Lenhardt. Those people in the know within the regular status orients of information society, a lot of them are noticing what we're saying and are smart enough to know that Ian's not bullshitting. Ian's pretty real. That's what you're saying. They're among the more intelligent people.
They're scared.
People.
And it's like Eric McLuhan, they're scared.
Now, what is it they're afraid of? That basically, shit, if this is right, then I'm out of...
That you're
I don't
right.
Know
well, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so they're hoping we're going to blow it.
they're hoping you're going to have a Donald Trump moment, except you'll win.
Is Trump, what was the latest thing they were projecting? Oh, yeah. Alex Kuskus, he says, he predicts that Trump will molest a woman on his staff in the White House and be impeached.
God.
Nothing like that's going to happen, right, Ian?
If he does, he won't tell anybody because he's not going to have the staff. There's not going to be any press corps to see it. He might even say pussy in the White House, too, but you're not going to hear it. It's all right. If he goes to the White House, we think he's just going to run it from Trump Tower.
Right.
Here he is in Orlando, Mobile at...
Alabama.
No, Orlando,
Mobile.
Florida.
Well, he's
and
going to Mobile.
Mobile.
So all these people, he's having big rallies right now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Busting
it up. That's a good way to run. That's a good idea, right? To keep the momentum going.
It's a thank you crew so that everybody will come tweet us twice.
No, come on, turn it off, Joe.
Hallelujah. It's Alabama, Sweet Home,
yeah,
Alabama.
What did you just say? It's a thank you tour, but he's also keeping momentum going. It's better than answering journalist questions, right?
Yeah, he's not doing that. He's done with that. He's through with answering their damn questions. Like, I don't owe you anything.
So who do you think
who you think you are? You don't run me. I'm the fucking president. I'll do whatever the hell I want to. Fuck you. Let's spell this a different way. Fuck you. I'm not doing that. I'll do what I want to. I run.
Yeah, he goes,
and
Bob Dodd would say, fuck you.
He wants to set a record for people going to D.C. for their inauguration.
So he wants people to come.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be amazing. So, Ian, is he going to keep doing these rallies for different reasons just to bug the journalists?
Of course.
Well, that's pretty neat, eh, Carol? That's much like Castro. Are we talking about the same cyber attack where it was revealed that the head of the DNC illegally gave Hillary the question to the debate? Now, Ian, you said this sheriff revealed that Obama's certificate is a fake. Now, I looked at it, and it's just two pole bunkers down there in the boondocks, and they apparently did something. Are they more valid than they look like?
They're like you, Bob. Yes, they're like you, Bob. They're more valid than what they look like. Yes.
That's pretty good.
You
so they did
into
actually
that one,
prove.
Bob.
They did prove that the certificate was fake. They did that.
They have. That's right. Which is what Trump must have called all that shit about originally.
Right. So then, is that getting played up in the major media? No.
No. Never.
Now, you said Obama would stay in Washington to defend his legacy. Is he getting a bit frustrated because Trump can go around him in 100 circles?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he... Is he going to maybe leave Washington, or is he just going to make an effort to defend his turf?
We just have to see. It's all twisting.
Right. But Trump is... nobody ever did that count, had victory movements, rallies after they won. That's unique, isn't it, Ion?
Yeah, because usually after a politician wins, they just forget the voters.
Yeah.
And they just move on to the games.
This is great. He's actually doing what a president should do. He's making the people feel up. He's cheerleading them, right? Isn't that what a president should do? Ion?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Bill Gates and Jim Brown visited him in the Trump Tower.
Yeah, and someone asked me, somebody said, why Ed Brown, Jim Brown? What is he a big guy in the black community?
Football.
I know what he is.
No.
What is he? Is this the gathering of the super, the non-humans at the Trump Tower? Are they all the guys that, like, why
You'll
didn't
see.
The head of, what?
You'll see.
Right. Like, he didn't invite the head of Twitter, Jack somebody. Jack Dorsey maybe is the name.
He doesn't like him. He went
All
against
right.
him.
Wisconsin and Pennsylvania have just certified my wins in those states. I actually picked up additional votes.
Now, what does that mean, pick up additional votes? Is
when
that,
they reach
more
down.
People.
No. Does he mean electoral college votes or populist votes?
Populist.
Which I am predicted. So is there a couple other states that still got to come in? And he'll win.
No, it's over. It's all through. They can just get the Electoral College to actually vote for Trump. It'll all be good.
Oh, yeah, that's the latest thing. They're trying to convince the Electoral College members to switch to Hillary count. I assume that will have
No. They didn't want to switch. They're not saying that. They're just saying don't vote for Trump so they can put it to the House of Representatives, which is controlled either way. So even if they did that, it's still controlled by the Republicans. So it doesn't make any difference, just like every other thing. Done. So they just tore up, Bob, and McLuhan didn't win, and they tore up about it. They don't know how to act.
McLuhan didn't win.
I've chosen one of the truly great business leaders of the world, Rex Tillerson, chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, to be Secretary of State.
Does he know about our Coldplay, Ion?
No.
No, he doesn't. Do you like his position? You like him being there? Is that a good idea?
Perfect.
All right. So we're back to what we were just saying about what was the thought just before that? The Electoral College. So are the Electoral College seriously considering the appeals to...
No. That's just a fake news network trying to make a dollar, Bob. They're working hard trying to make a dollar, Bob. They can't do it. They're not doing it. It's not going well for them, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
For who? The Electoral College?
The media.
People are not coming back to CNN and...
They're canceling their newspapers. They're just not doing it anymore. It's over. It's over, Bob.
Right. Is Steve Bannon as nutty as the media portrays him, or is he smarter?
Are you as nutty as you think you are, or no?
Well, so he's like me. He's smart.
No. We just asked a question. How do you see it? So that would be how they see it, too. So as far as seeing,
okay.
That's how
I see myself? Okay.
How people see you.
They see me like Steve Bannon.
How does Peggy Guttenberg see you, Bob?
You mean Peggy Guggenheim?
No, Gutenberg. The Guttenbergs. That's the one you're worried about, seemingly.
I didn't know they were still around. Well, yes, they're very... They don't like me because I'm putting them out of business.
So there's the rub. Okay, just saying. That's very good. There we go.
All right, I have a phrase here, brain board. Why would I put the phrase brain board here? Do you recall, was I listening to something you said? Did you say the brain board?
Yes. It was bored brain. The board of the brain was bored. It was made a reference to the cliche of archetypes that you were bored as in room and board.
Yeah, now there's William Irwin Thompson talks about it. Roxy talks about Pico Mirandola. Anything special about him? Did he stay alive?
Nope.
So he's a popular alchemist because he failed.
Apparently.